Importance of Fear is a horror fiction podcast which is intended for mature audiences. Discretion is advised. Welcome, Fearlings, to another weird and horrifying tale made just for you. I am your host, Mashulu, and I'll be your guide into the macabre and mysterious. We learn today if Henry can survive his encounter with unrelenting horror in Finding a Way. Before we get started, take a moment to like, subscribe, and ring that notification bell so you don't miss a single terrifying story. Henry was 10 feet from the cavern opening. Daylight bathed his face. A breeze cooled his skin. The climb to the exit was amazing. Chalk-covered hands were his only safety tool. One bad grab, and he'd fall back into the blackness below. The danger was part of the fun. Adrenaline pumping, he began his ascent to the opening. Henry was 58, tall, bald, with a perpetual gray stubble framing his square jaw. He told his husband Edward where he would be and had a GPS tracker just in case. Henry had been climbing and hiking since he was a teen. His body reflected that fact. He was slim with ropey muscles and tan skin. Remembering sunscreen had always been a challenge. Years of outdoor activities had prematurely aged him. The cave he'd explored that day was part of a vast underground system. For 10 years, he had searched its dark recesses, and still there was more to see. Above was a vast mountainous pine forest that stretched for 100 miles in all directions. Numerous deep blue rivers cut through ancient stone above and below ground. From the last thaw to the first snowflake falling from the sky, Henry would visit the cave as often as he could, many times camping for several days. The winters were harsh. There was a glacier that touched several of the mountains, and snow was almost a daily occurrence. Henry had tried to come when the forest became a block of ice, but even with all his experience, it was too much. Instead, the winter was for planning and daydreams of finding a lost pirate ship, like in the movie Goonies. The world below was full of wonders few had ever seen. Huge stalagmites and stalactites, crystal clusters, gigantic bat colonies, and underground waterways created an almost alien ecosystem. Fresh water was never an issue. Entrances dotted the landscape, making each exploration new and interesting. Henry had never been to one place more than a couple of times in the past 10 years. Today, he had stumbled upon the exit he was climbing to. This happened often. He'd pop up somewhere and have no clue where he was. That was part of the excitement. "Only a few more feet, old man," Henry said. Talking out loud helped him focus. Losing focus while climbing would be very unwise. He moved deliberately and was finally able to grab the lip of the opening to the outside world. With his feet dangling, he pulled himself up and out of the cavern. Out of breath, Henry rolled over and looked up at the forest canopy. Beyond the trees was the dusk-painted sky. The scent of pine filled the air. His heart pounded hard. It had been a great day. Nightfall loomed. The forest would soon transform into a dimly lit wonderland, the moon and stars casting a pale light onto the mountains. In this cosmic glow, a symphony of wolf howls, crickets singing, and owl hoots would commence. Henry thought about the fire he would start, the fresh fish he'd cook, and the reading of a trashy novel he'd get done. It took him a moment to realize a hush had come over the forest. "That's odd," he thought. Slowly he sat up. His heart had stopped beating in his ears. He sensed something large in the bushes nearby. He scanned the area to see if he was about to have an encounter with a wild animal. Usually it was an elk or a bear. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw it, the glint of a large cat eye watching him, hunting him. He shifted gradually, looking towards the stair, and started to very slowly move in the opposite direction. Mountain lions were common in the forest, but they kept their distance. For this one to be so close, it must be very hungry. Henry moved from the lip of the cave deliberately. The last thing he wanted to do was give the big cat something to chase. He kept moving further and further away. The crack in the earth that he had just emerged from was about 30 feet wide, a distance a mountain lion could easily clear with the right motivation. When Henry was 10 feet from the ledge, his stalker revealed itself. It was a big cat, a very big cat. All the blood drained from his face. "What the hell?" he thought. It was a massive orange and white beast, 700 pounds of solid muscle, standing just over 3 feet tall at the shoulders and at least 5 feet long. Its canine teeth were massive 8-inch fangs. It was low to the ground and moving forward very slowly, gauging the situation. A saber tooth? How? Aware that surviving the encounter trumped the question, Henry started to think. He had bear spray in a holster, but had no clue if that would help. There was no way he could outrun this thing. His only hope was to make it back to the cave and try to lose it. Every move he made was calculated to not have this monster give chase. He began to inch forward towards the cat. It let out a low-throated growl, opening its jaws slightly to show off its teeth. Henry swallowed, trying to keep his soul from leaving his body. "This is stupid. This is so effing stupid," he muttered over and over. The saber-tooth watched intently, ears down, ready to attack. The plan of attack had been decided on. It was clear in the cat's eyes. Henry's heart dropped. Oh, no. Both prey and predator moved simultaneously. Henry dashed for the edge of the crevasse while the saber-tooth moved toward Henry. It vaulted across the entrance to the cave while Henry slid hard back to the edge of the opening. The cat flew right over Henry's head. Henry found himself once again dangling from the edge of the cavern entrance by one chalkless hand. His muscles burned with the heat of a thousand suns. The saber-tooth looked over the ledge and growled. Henry could see the gears turning. It was a long way down. He didn't want to let go. Surviving a 20-foot fall was a long shot. Even if he did survive, he wondered what condition he'd be in. At the same time, he didn't want to be this cat's dinner. "Nice kitty, good kitty. You don't want me. I'm old and stringy. Just go away." His voice shook with nervous energy. The cat tilted its head slightly and hissed. Its fangs came into sharp focus. "Okay, I tell you what. You let me go, and I buy you an elephant to eat, okay? It's smaller than a woolly mammoth, sure, but much larger than me." It smelled the air and then Henry's hand. Henry began to feel like his arms were made of lead. He only had seconds left before they gave out. "You were not on my bingo card for animals I'd run into today." "No, no, no, no," he said, as the saber-tooth raised up and swung its massive paw at him. Curved daggers dug into Henry's back. The pain was unbearable, and Henry's muscles spasmed. Screaming all the way down, he fell into the darkness. Hitting the floor of the cavern like a 200-pound bag of wet cement, Henry blacked out. He woke to the echoed screeches of a million bats leaving their homes for the night. Moonlight lit the entrance of the cave now. Every atom of his being was in unspeakable pain. Groaning, Henry pulled himself up to survey the damage. He'd been lucky. No broken bones, which was a miracle. He had deep gashes on his back, cuts on his legs, and large bruises on his side. Finally, a giant lump on his head. The bear spray survived the fall. In fact, all his items seemed fine. Clicking the headlamp on, he opened his backpack and grabbed the first aid kit. Before starting to work on his various wounds, he looked up to see if the saber tooth was still there. Thankfully, it was not. "Did I fall, hit my head, and dream that whole thing?" he said with great confusion. It had seemed so real, but the bump on his head suggested that the whole encounter might have been a dream. "Okay, let's go by the numbers. My GPS and cell phone are useless down here. No one will notice I'm missing for another 24 hours. I could have internal bleeding. Not a lot I can do about that. The saber-toothed tiger was a dream, triggered by being knocked out. That's the only logical conclusion. Now, inventory. I have bear spray, my phone, emergency pack, hunting knife, a small amount of snacks, and I'm surrounded by fresh water. All good things. I can even eat cave moss and some of the bugs down here if it comes to that. I can't climb back up into the opening. My best bet is to find a more accessible exit." With Herculean effort, Henry stood. His body felt like one giant exposed nerve. His light revealed two passageways, one to the north and one to the east. He had spent the day exploring the north passageway. It went further down into the earth, so he decided east was his best bet. The eastern passage glistened. Heavy drops of water echoed loudly against the uneven cavern floor. The walls were covered with green and red moss. Henry couldn't help but to look backwards every few moments, checking for a long extinct predator on his trail. He had never felt an anxiety like this in the caves. On the surface, you needed to be aware of your surroundings, but most animals avoided humans. But the saber-tooth was living rent-free in his head. Even though he kept telling himself it was a dream, he wasn't entirely convinced. Henry thought about his husband, Edward. He imagined what he would be saying right now. "I told you not to go alone. You're not young anymore. Why not stay put, try to heal up, and climb? If you never come home, I will kill you." Henry had met Ed on a trip to the Great Wall of China. Ed was arguing with his partner at the time about the fact that he hadn't deleted a hookup app from his phone. They were literally walking on one of the most amazing man-made structures in the world, and his ex was livid, making sure everyone knew their business. It was beyond cringe-inducing. Ed tried to smooth things over and get on with the tour, but nothing was helping. If you asked Henry what Ed's partner's name was, he'd have no clue. He just remembered him acting like a toddler. Ed finally pulled his phone out and deleted the app in front of everyone. It was like a soap opera. For the rest of the tour, his ex walked 20 feet ahead, angry and petulant. Henry understood being upset, but there was a time and a place to argue about a hookup app. Henry approached Ed and handed him his number. "What's this?" "It's my number. I figure since you're not on the app anymore." He hit Edward with a million-watt smile. Ed smiled back and took the card. By the end of the trip, Ed was sleeping in Henry's room. They married a year later. They both still use the app sometimes. At that point, he'd have given anything to see Edward's beautiful face. The tunnel he was in seemed to stretch on forever. At least there was fresh air, which he hoped came from an opening ahead. Suddenly, a thunderous roar reverberated through the tunnel. He froze. He hadn't dreamt the saber-toothed tiger. It was hunting him. And from the sound of the roar, close. It must have found a way that wasn't a 20-foot drop, Henry thought. Up ahead was the sound of running water. He hoped he could get there before the tiger got to him. "Not sure why this is happening, but I really don't want to be a time-traveling tiger's lunch." The next roar was louder and much closer. Henry started to move as fast as his battered body would let him. Panic started setting in. How? How am I being stalked by a saber tooth? This is insane! Henry would have had a better chance at passing a trig final at that point than understanding how the hell this creature was in the 21st century. And he failed algebra 2 twice. Looking back, he caught a glimpse of the beast. Low to the ground, its eyes flared when his light hit them. It looked like a demon shrouded in darkness. Shit. Adrenaline filled his veins. He never wanted to know how prehistoric people felt, but he had an idea now, terrified. The uneven floor and bending tunnel passage meant the cat didn't have a straight run at him, but it was moving quickly. Every time he glanced back, it was a little closer. Henry felt like he was trapped in a cursed cat video. The sound of rushing water was closer. He started to run. The tiger roared and gave chase. Henry rounded a corner to find himself at the edge of a sheer cliff. Below, a river torrent ran. He had no idea how deep it was. He turned back to see the saber-toothed tiger staring at him, ready to pounce. In high school, Henry had been a jock, playing football, cruising in his junker car on the weekend, and dating girls so no one would know he liked boys. He never thought he'd get old back then. He was immortal and cool. But time changes everyone. And when he hit 30, the illusion of immortality melted away. He thought about how long he had left. Sure, he was still young, but he felt like it wasn't enough time to accomplish his goals. He wanted more, but the clock only seemed to accelerate. His dad died at 59 from a heart attack. His mother had to move into a care facility for dementia at 63. This all ran through his mind with each passing year. Henry was fit and looked after his health, but the ticking of the mortality clock in his mind was still louder than ever. Staring into the yellow eyes of this massive cat, all he could think about was what he wished he'd done and regrets of missteps. The men he'd have said yes to and the jerks he wouldn't have fallen in love with. Telling Sarah Jones in 10th grade he loved her when he just didn't. The time he missed out on with his siblings over stupid disagreements that created decades-long silence on all sides. It all cascaded through his mind like a waterfall of regret and anger in mere moments. "I'm not ready to die, you hear me?" he yelled. The prehistoric feline leaped forward. Henry tried to move out of the way, hoping the cat would sail off the cliff into the water below, but no dice. Instead, the beast defied physics, twisting its body to grab its prey with its razor-sharp claws. The impact sent both of them flying out over the water. They crashed hard into the rushing current far below. Unfortunately, the river wasn't deep, and they hit the bottom hard. The jagged riverbed caused grievous wounds to tear open. The strong current carried them both along. The saber-tooth sank its fangs deep into Henry's shoulder as if it wasn't in a fast-moving body of water. The water submerged their heads. Henry gasped for air every chance he could. He reached for his bear spray. It was still on his belt. He could feel bones cracking under the vice grip of the saber-tooth. The water was blinding him. He was dying right there and then. He had to do something. With his last bit of strength, he grabbed the bear spray with his free arm from his belt and pulled the trigger point blank in the beast's left eye. The pain overwhelmed the saber-tooth, and it let go, the current dragging it away. Henry was free, but so badly injured he could barely stay conscious. Then all the world shrank to one focal point. Ahead was a waterfall. "This is some horror story BS," he thought. The beast was thrown over the side like a man-eating rag doll. Henry's only hope was to grab one of the jagged rocks sticking up from the river floor. He stretched out and grabbed one only a few feet from the edge of the waterfall. He knew he wouldn't be able to hold on for long. He was going to go over the edge no matter what. The plan was simple. Feet first, clinch, and hope to God that the water below was deep. Oh, and that the saber tooth had died in the fall. That would be a nice bonus, he thought. I love you, Edward. And if I die, I hope you know deep in your heart that LeBron James is overrated. Here we go. One, two, four. He let go. Henry entered the water like a missile. Luckily, the pool below was very deep. He looked up to see the large rivulets of blood that followed him down. He could also see a light source above, meaning a way out. It would have been easy to let go of life at that moment, but one thing kept him going, seeing Edward again. In his mind, he repeated over and over, "Do it for Ed, do it for Ed, do it for Ed," as he pushed himself toward the light above. Breaking the surface of the water, Henry took a huge breath of air. He had lost a lot of blood fast and was half dead, sure. But in the moment, he felt like a titan waking up from an eons-long slumber. Light streamed from a cave passage. The dawn sun was rising. Henry swam to the shore. He couldn't see the saber tooth anywhere, but that didn't mean it wasn't there. Cats are known for being sneaky, after all, even gigantic ones. But he had to risk getting out of the pool, or he'd drown. Pulling himself up onto the rocky shore, Henry kept upright. Falling asleep now would be a death sentence. He had to get out of the cave to signal for help. But at that moment, moving would have to wait. The damage was severe. Blood streamed from gashes, muscles ached, and bones felt brittle. The shoulder bite was horrific. All the color from Henry's face had drained away. Force of will was the only weapon he had against death. He kept repeating Edward's name as motivation and started to move again. His cell phone was no more. In fact, most of his supplies were lost when the saber tooth ripped his bag open in the water, something he only now realized had happened. But the GPS emergency beacon was still intact, and he had his hunting knife. That was it. Everything was freezing. He wasn't sure if it was the early morning chill or death knocking on his door. He stumbled to the mouth of the cave, and that's when he spotted the saber tooth staring at him with its one good eye 40 feet away. "Come on! Want a snack? Here I am! Try coming at me! I'll cut your other eye out!" Henry waved his knife at the cat. The saber tooth stared for a moment, as if pondering if the meal was worth the effort, and then turned, disappearing into the bushes. Henry slid to the pine-covered ground and hit the GPS emergency button. The birds sang their morning song as the sun reached the top of the pines. He looked at the glory of the morning and whispered, "I'm not dying today." Henry fought hard to survive that nightmare scenario. An impressive feat for a horror story protagonist. Do you think you could survive an encounter with a saber-toothed tiger? Be sure to tell us in the comments. If you liked this Portents of Fear tale, consider joining our Patreon. There's a link in the description below. Want more horrific stories? Click on one of our other episodes on your screen right now. Good night, Fearlings. Sleep well, if you can.